But we can get better at it for sure. You meditate on the word of God. That can be a word given to you, spoken to you personally about a particular matter, right? Or it can be just opening the book and reading. But the idea is that is the evidence, elenkos. That is the evidence of truth, reality, aletheia, right? You meditate on that evidence of reality. Let the Spirit fill your mind so that you can see what you have heard. Do you understand that? You can be preached to. You can hear a voice. You can hear the Spirit of God in yourself. Basically, you hear. You can, even while you're reading, in your mind, those words are alive. As you're reading, you're hearing them. As you meditate on them, they take form in you. That's how God works. God speaks his word. He calls those things that are not as though they are. That's what God does, right? That's why God was so thrilled with Abraham, because Abraham was willing to go along with that. Changed his name when he didn't have a kid to the father of many nations, right? That's how God does stuff. And if we quit trying to reinvent the wheel and just agree with him, miraculous, you know, energama dunamis, miraculous, energized powers would take place in our life, because that's what God wants to do, right? So when you do that, something happens in you, the result of seeing these things and beginning to walk in them as you understand them, become aware of them, results in praise and gratitude. As you see what God's doing, as you see his purposeful goodwill, as you see his marvelous work, go read all the Psalms, you know, wow, his excellent greatness. It just happens. You begin to praise God, and you begin to be grateful for the idea that you come to know him, that you know, first of all, that you know that there is an unseen. You know, when we're standing up here on Sunday mornings and we're singing, it changes the picture very significantly when you realize that you're praising the God of all things. You are praising Jesus, lauding, adoring him, and that the people in the room are not the only ones seeing it and hearing it. That we are, as Paul, what is that, 11th chapter, 12th chapter of Hebrews, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There's more, we say this over and over, there's more that you don't see than what you do see. And when you realize that there may be a lot of angels just stop and go, wow, listen, they're praising Jesus, our Lord. He is their king. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. And they just stop and go, wow, isn't that cool? You know, they can't see, they don't know him, but look at what they're doing. And you lift your hands, going back to the old days, raised in a Baptist church, you never saw anybody lift your hands. First of all, they were usually holding a hymn book, right? But you never saw that. And then around the South, as the charismatic renewal, the movement began to happen, and some of that Pentecostal and charismatic stuff began to spill over. Even in the church I was in, medium-sized Baptist church, you started seeing people, and they were on TV, in the choir. Some of us who had become Baptist-costals would lift our hands, and it upset a lot of people because we don't do that, you know? And you open the book and you show them where it says, I would that men would pray everywhere with holy hands lifted without wrath or doubting. You're supposed to lift your hands. You would look at 100th Psalm, you know, that you come into his presence or you enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And then the Hebrew says, literally, you lift your hands to bless his name. That's how you bless God. You want to bless God, do this, right? That's been going on for thousands of years. It's not new, and the Pentecostal people didn't invent it. Yeah, that's how I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't know any of this stuff. I was up in the mountains in North Carolina. I was fed up with what was going on in my life. I got out by myself, and I've told you all this, but I'm out there on my knees just been sobbing to God, talking about all kind of stuff, and I went through. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just going down the list of everything I thought was important, saying, even if I don't have this or that, I'm getting, you know, I just got to have you. And I remember in my mind, I can still see the picture in my mind, I'm in like a filling station, a gas station, like there's the pump, here's the hose, I'm parked in the gas station, and I put my hands up in the air. And I didn't do that, right? I put my hands up in the air and imagined that there were holes in my hands. And I said, I've got to be full of you. Ta-da! And I didn't speak in tongues at the moment. I laughed uncontrollably for a while. I mean, I'm not really exactly sure how long, and I was absolutely, completely transformed. I left there, went back to the cabin I was staying in, picked up the Bible. That was in mid-afternoon, and when someone came to check on me, probably somewhere around 12 hours later, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was still sitting there reading. I hadn't stopped reading for hours and hours and hours. I could not get enough. I was like a craved, thirsty person who was dying for a drink, and I just kept drinking and drinking and drinking, and that went on probably for the better part of a week. I could hardly function, and it was later on when I realized somebody who knew what they were doing said, well, you got filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you speak in tongues? I said, do what? And so they told me, and I went, oh. And that was the end of that, too. And I remember, I'll keep telling the story. I remember it was so weird to put words with the sounds or whatever I was hearing that I felt real strange. I got back to Birmingham by way of Florida for a while. And I went downstairs in my basement because I was still going, I'm not sure about this stuff. And I said, Father,